You're going to be so grateful I'm not speaking today. We have a guest speaker. And this is the first time I've met Andrew. But Andrew, the connection there is his wife had to endure my kids' services year after year after year at Helena First. And he just felt a calling from God to begin a ministry. And I will say, as a pastor, for years in the Assemblies of God, we kind of lost the office of evangelist. And I'm so grateful that we're starting to see signs of that coming back in different ways. And Andrew was explaining his ministry, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to let him do that instead of me trying to remember, because my memory is awful. But would you give a warm journey welcome to Andrew as he comes, he brings the word today and shares.
I'm going to move this, Dave. Is this yours? Just Well, good morning, everybody. Such an honor to be here. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for having me. And I love that God just ties things together. And it's awesome to be here and with my wife's kids pastor. I know my in-laws grew up. You worked alongside Dave. Gary, you're probably older than Dave, but way older. But it's awesome to have my family here, my extended family here, the Gustafsons as well, and the Marigards, and my wife Shannon. She doesn't get to come with me very often when I travel and speak places, and so that's such a joy to be here. And so if you get the chance, feel free to say hi to them after service and introduce yourselves. It's an honor to be here in Columbia Falls and at Journey Church. It feels like such a welcoming place. You guys are just very sweet just from what I've encountered so far. And I'm thankful just to be able to share with you guys what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart. And I wanted to let you know a little bit more about me and what I do. And Dave was talking that I started a ministry not too long ago. It's only been about a year and a half that I started this ministry, kind of just out of nowhere. And it's called After the One. And what I do is essentially I do the work of an evangelist. And so what the evangelist does is either they're out sharing the gospel with people who don't get the opportunity to hear the gospel, and they share the faith of Jesus, but they also equip the church to do the work of an evangelist. And so I get the opportunity to travel and speak and encourage people to share their faith and what that might look like, and that we're not just word vomiting the gospel, but we're introducing people to the person of Jesus Christ and what he's done for them. And it's such an honor to be able to do that. And I love being able to see fear break off of people and sharing their faith, because when you mention evangelism, usually people are like, oh no, I'm terrified. Well, one, I'll just let you know, everyone's terrified. you're not the only one, and I love being able to do that. And part of my ministry is, I said, if I'm trying to get people to reach out and to the lost and share their faith, I better be reaching out to people myself. And so one of the ways that I've been doing that is I've been going into schools and setting up school assemblies. And my heart is to reach students, but my heart is also to reach teachers. And I have a short little video of just one of the last assemblies I've done. So I don't know if you guys have that up. Go ahead and play that for me. Hey everybody, we're here in Colorado Springs out in front of Banning Lewis High School, where today and tomorrow we're going to be giving an assembly on hope to the students. While we're here, we're also going to be giving a gift of generosity to the teachers, just to say how thankful we are for them in this week of teacher appreciation. We're looking forward.
Oh,
are you going to be? Are you going to be somebody who encourages them, loves on them, cares for them, and shows them that they still have a hope and a future? I don't know about you. I want to be somebody who gives hope to other people. So that just gives you a little bit of a glimpse into what I do, and I love the opportunity to just get to share hope with people, right? I look out, and I worked with students and youth for a long time, and I just began to see some needs in our next generation, and my heart just kind of broke for them, and I knew where I was when I was in junior high and high school and how you got a lot going on in your mind, and I know for myself, I needed the hope a lot sooner than I received it. Does that make sense? And so I love that I get to do that. And so today, I want to jump into my message, though. And today, I want to challenge us, but also remind us of who Jesus is and what he does for us. How God has a promise and a purpose for each and every single one of us, and how God also prepares us to be the person that you and I are called to be, not just for ourselves, but for the harvest. Because I don't know if you noticed, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe, right? There's a need in our world for people to encounter the love of God. I don't know, like when I just look at the video of that students, every single one of them have an individualistic story of what they're feeling, of what they're going through, and they have different backgrounds. There's a need for the gospel in every facet of society, and so I'm here to encourage you to prepare for who God has called you to. Amen? So before I jump into the word and text, well, let's just go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say. I pray that you would be glorified in this place. Lord, I pray that people would see who you are through your word and through your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. So again, if I was to title this message, I would call it Prepared for Promise. Prepared for Promise. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 1, I'm going to preach on a story that honestly I've never heard preached before. So bear with me, but it's a guy in the Bible that he shows up and he's Abraham's promised son. His name is Isaac. If you've read your Bible, if you grew up in church, you know who Abraham is. He's the father of the faith. He's the guy that God came to and said, move from this place. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to increase your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And we find that when God gave Abraham that promise, it didn't happen immediately, right? It took time. I found that God, when he gives us a promise, it doesn't happen as fast as we usually like it to. We would love for the promise to take place the next day, wouldn't we? But the reality is God has a plan and a purpose even in the midst of what we might go through in this life. And it's much bigger than you can even dream of. Abraham probably heard, my descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. He's like, man, I'm about to have, like, you know, so many descendants. Like, he's probably thinking of, like, oh, I'm going to have a nation like Israel. He didn't realize that God was talking about people of the faith, that his family was going to go into a deeper realm, that he was going to have a family that stretched all over the world, a family of faith, believers in China, believers in America, believers in Mexico, and how God had a plan for him. And God was going to bring the son, Jesus Christ, through his family line. And Jesus Christ was going to bless the whole world through his descendants, right? Abraham had no idea how big this promise actually was. And it took time. It took him, he was already 75 years old. He was getting old, and And he's like, well, I better get to work on having children, because if I'm going to fulfill this promise, it's going to, you know, take some work. You know what I mean? And so he's thinking, okay, I better make this happen. He sometimes, don't laugh. He said, I better make this happen. And sometimes he took the promise into his own hands, and we see that's where Ishmael comes from. But God loves Ishmael, but Ishmael was not the promised son. And so Isaac is born 25 years later when Abraham is 100 years old. That's a long time. And Abraham's like, all right, I'm getting ready to, you know, fall over and die here, and now I just have my one son. And, you know, God had a promise for multiplication and growth, and it started off slow. Real slow. But you know that it might start slow, but it's going to start happening fast. Because then we go from Isaac, and then Isaac has Jacob and Esau, and Jacob is the father of the 12 tribes. And then from then on, it expands to like 70 people. And then they go to Egypt, and it's like a million like that, right? 1, 2, 12, 70, 100 million. That's how multiplication works, right? Just because something is starting slow, it doesn't mean God is not in it, right? Just because something is growing, it doesn't mean God is not in it. But we see in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, that Isaac is, he started his own family. Jacob and Esau have been born now. And we see in our text that God is about to take him through a journey of personal growth. Because I believe that growth is not just numerical, right? Growth is individualistic, that God doesn't just want to grow churches in number. He wants to grow them up in stature to be more like Jesus. And I love growing churches, but sometimes growing churches need people to grow up, to grow in Christ. In verse 1, it says this: a severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. And before I jump too far, I have a few points that I want to make along the way about this story that most people maybe haven't read before or maybe haven't thought about in a long time. It says, a severe famine now struck the land, and as happened before, so Isaac moved. So Isaac moved. One of the first points I want to make is that God will often use famine to get his church to move into position. God will use famine to get his people to move where they need to go. Because sometimes, if you're stagnant, you will not grow. And so sometimes, God will allow things to take place in the earth and in your spiritual walk, and he will allow famine to take place. And what I mean by that is there's a lack. There's a need. There's desperation. And sometimes if you and I are comfortable, we'll never grow. And so sometimes God will stir up some things. He will change some things. He'll allow you to recognize your lack in certain areas that he's going to get you to become desperate. Desperate for his presence. Desperate for his spirit. I believe that we, in today's age, are going to experience, maybe not like a, you know, where there's a lack of food or anything like that, but I think in today's age, we're in a famine for God in our nation. There's a need for his presence. And I'm looking around and I'm missing and not necessarily tasting and seeing like God's grace and mercy or justice or whatever it is that maybe you're seeing a lack of. There's a need. Is there not? There's a desperate need for God's move and his spirit. And if you're feeling the tension of that, it might be God is asking you to move. I'm not saying move locations, move to a different city, move to a different state, but maybe he's asking you to be more active in your faith. Maybe he's calling you to be more active in engaging with your community. Maybe he's calling you to be more active in praying over the harvest, in seeking the lost. I don't know about you. Like I said, when I started this ministry, I saw a need for hope in students because I saw a famine for hope where they didn't feel like they had a future. It felt like they were going to be destroyed. Only thing that they saw was, you know, tension in the home, tension in their lives. And I wanted to be somebody who came along beside not just the students but the teacher and say, there's a little bit of hope for you in your future. There's a little bit of hope to get you going. I saw a famine, and it broke my heart, and so God moved me into a place where I can be a blessing in the middle of famine. I love how God calls people in the middle of famine. He calls us to move. He calls us to act. He calls us to be who he's called us to be. He's calls us to not be stagnant in a world that's experiencing famine. I know in the church, sometimes it can feel like we have like this feast all around us of God's presence and his joy, but the world is outside starving. Starving for a little bit of Jesus. Sometimes they reject it, and I understand that, but there's a lot of people who won't. But you and I sometimes are a little bit stingy with what we have. And God is asking us to move. In the middle of famine, God gives a promise, that the same promise that he gave to Abraham, he's appearing to Isaac in verse 2, and he gives him a promise of a future, a future. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm to you that I will give you all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. I will cause your descendants to become numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, and I will do this because Abraham obeyed me and all my requirements and commands, decrees, and instructions." I love that even if you and I are in the middle of personal famine, spiritual famine, God's promises are still true, and he doesn't forget his promises. And he might be calling you to move more into his promises, more into his purposes. And he's reminding you of what he said over you, reminding you of the promise and the inheritance that you have in Christ. Sometimes I need a reminder of what God has given me in the middle of my own personal spiritual famine, right? That's exactly what God is doing. And you would think that, like, Isaac, once he gets this encounter with God, this appearance with God, that, like, he would just shape up, right? He's like, I have a purpose, a destiny. I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to do anything stupid anymore. But I don't know if you've been around humans long enough. You know, even if you have a promise, you're still human. Even if you know the love of God, the promise of Christ, you know that you have a hope and a future, we still just have things in our life that begin to unravel, begin to come to the surface. And we see that Isaac, after he got his promise, moved to this new place, and we see that he's still human, and it shows up. He's just like his dad. And I'll explain it this way. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men who lived there asked Isaac about his wife Rebekah, he said, "She is my sister." He was afraid to say, "She's my wife." He thought they will kill me to get her because she is so beautiful. But sometime later, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of his window and saw Isaac caressing Rebekah. Immediately, Abimelech called for Isaac and exclaimed, "She is obviously your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" "Because I was afraid someone would kill me to get to her," Isaac replied. He said, "How could you do this to us?" Abimelech exclaimed. "One of my people might have easily taken your wife and slept with her, and you would have made us guilty of a great sin." Verse 11 says this, "Then Abimelech issued a public proclamation, 'Anyone who touches this man or his wife will be put to death.'" Isaac, the promised son, the one who should know what he's doing, just had an encounter with God, encounters people, and the first thing he does is he gets fearful and he lies. How human is that? How real is that? But you see, even in the midst of Isaac's sin, even in the midst of Isaac's fear and the lies that he surrounded himself with, he's still a son of promise. And he receives mercy, not just from God in his time of fear, in his time of lies. He receives mercy from the king of Philistine, the Philistine king Abimelech. Isaac comes in, causes a mess, could break up the whole community, cause someone to destroy themselves. And what does the king do? Defends him. And he gives him a safe place to grow. I wonder, and I suggest, if sometimes we don't see growth because we're quick to judge and we give no people any room to grow. We don't give any people any mercy. We say, oh, you made this mistake, you're done, you're finished. Instead of allowing people to grow into the person that God has called them to be. I don't know if any of you got saved and had it all together, but I know for a fact I didn't. In fact, I know for a fact now, I still don't have it all together. And I've been following Jesus for about 10 years, and I imagine some of you guys have been following Jesus for maybe a little bit longer. No offense. But when God calls you, he's going to give you the space and the grace to grow into what he's called you into. Are you merciful enough to others to allow them to grow? Because they need space and time. Are you merciful to yourself? Gracious enough to yourself? Because Jesus is. He's given you your whole life to pull it together. He's walked you through your sins. He's walked through you with you in your problems and when you fall short and when you're fearful and when you don't know what you're doing and when you're living in lies, he's patient with you in your sin. And can I encourage you with something today? You can't condemn or shame yourself out of any sin. You can't. You will not grow. You will condemn yourself to death. The only way out of sin is by the grace and mercy of God. I know we like to shame people in their sin. I love how Abimelech addresses his sin, but he still gives mercy. You can't condemn yourself out of sin. I've tried. It doesn't work. I say, well, I won't do that. I'll be better next time. And if I don't, well, I guess I'm just a lowly sinner. When God set me free from many things, it was because I received fully his goodness in the middle of my sin. When I was afraid and didn't know what to do next, the only way out of fear is to receive his perfect love. I know you're afraid. I know the world is scary. And I know the temptation to lie about who you are and what God has called you to be. Receive his grace right now in your fear. It will set you free. It will set you free. This is Journey Church. I think it's called Journey because you're all on a journey of following God, learning what he's like. Have you given yourself time and space to learn who he is so you might grow more in his fullness? He's good. And he's going to give you that time and space. Maybe there's someone in your life that you can think, man, I should maybe just give them a little bit of space to grow. When you give people grace and space to grow, they become more than what you expected. We see this in Genesis chapter 26, verses 12, verses 13. When Isaac planted his crop that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him, and he became a very rich man, and wealth continued to grow. This man just sinned, blew it exponentially, almost destroyed a whole community. And what does God do? He blesses him and multiplies him 100-fold because he was given mercy to grow. What does God want to grow in you? You think God wants to shame you every time you fall short? He's still good. He wants to bless you. The Bible says, bless those who curse you. He says that because he does that. He blesses those who fall short. He blesses those who fall sin. And so many of us stunt our own growth because we feel bound by shame in our sin, and we never grow. We never grow. Isaac now, he's growing. He's developing, right? And numerically, his crops are growing. He's multiplying in the way that God has promised. But there's a such thing as opposition and conflict and growing pains, isn't there? Just because you're growing doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Just because you're expanding doesn't mean things are going to go exactly how you planned. In growth, there's growing pains. In growth, there will be opposition and conflict. And we see that in verse 14 and 15. It says this: he acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle, servants, that the Philistines became jealous of him. You want to know one of the greatest ways to stunt growth is become jealous of what God has given people. We as a church are sometimes so bad at that, where we get jealous of another church's growth instead of rejoicing with them that people are getting saved. Let God give to them what is God's and what is theirs, and let God give to you what is yours. He's gifted you and he's called you into your own promise, into your own destiny. Do not become jealous of other people and what God is doing in other people. It will stunt growth. So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were wells that had been dug by his servants of his father Abraham. Finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. He said, go somewhere else. He said, for you have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away to Gerar Valley, where he set up their tents and settled down there. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in. After Abraham's death, Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. Verse 19 says this: Isaac's servant also dug in the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. This is our water, they said. And they argued over it. So Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. Isaac's men then dug another well and began, and again there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitnah, which means hostility. You want to know one of the most frustrating things about how God wants to develop you? Is he's going to give you problems. It's fun stuff, right? He gives you grace to grow. He gives you time and space to grow as a person. But he also knows what you need beyond what you think you need. And sometimes you need something that's going to draw the deep things out of you. And sometimes the only way that the deep things are going to be drawn out of us is through conflict and opposition. I know I would love for the promises of God just to be a walk in the park. But sometimes God has to challenge you to make you better. God has to grow you in conflict. God has to grow you in opposition. God has to grow you by sending you enemies. Think of Job. Job was like called of God, mighty man of God, righteous, good. God still saw that he needed something. So God allowed Satan to come and destroy his whole life. And then what happened? After that, God walked him through that, was with him in that. He doubled what he was before. I know you might be going through something that's difficult. Maybe there's conflict. Maybe you're experiencing someone who's jealous of you. Maybe you're experiencing hostility and arguments and pain and suffering. And maybe you don't understand why it is that you are having to go through what it is that you're going through. Maybe I might suggest it's God growing you, developing in you a grace that you wouldn't have before, developing you to love people who are against you. Because God's whole plan for your life, his whole purpose and promise for your life is to make you more like Jesus. That's his goal. You know, we love that verse. God works all things for good for those who love him. Like, yeah, I'm going to be rich. And maybe he will make you rich. I hope he does. But the verse after that says the goodness essentially is he's making you more into the image of his son. That's the goodness God is trying to pull out of you. And sometimes you and I are really good at loving people who are nice and good to us. We're not always like Jesus when it comes to people who oppose us and conflict with us. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Because you're being made more into his likeness. Sometimes I need people to oppose me so that I can love them like Jesus does. I hate to say this. Sometimes God will allow people to betray you so you know how much God loves you. Because he was betrayed and still gave his life willingly. Oof. I don't like that growth. That growth is painful. That growth is exponential, though. I grow much more in deep conflict when I don't know what to do and I don't know why it is I'm going through what I'm going through. But God is pulling the deep things out of me. He's bringing fresh water up out of the depths of my soul. He's pulling Jesus out of me. He's forcing me in a way to be like him the ways that I never thought possible. You know, I was stubborn enough to believe that I was a lot more like Jesus than I actually am. And what made me recognize, wow, I'm not always like Jesus, was conflict. I'm like, man, I get nasty. I get mean. I get bitter. I get angry. I get frustrated. And I feel like God was showing me, Andrew, you might not be as forgiving as you think you are. And it wasn't a condemnation thing. It was, I'm growing you to be as forgiving as I am. I need to be like Jesus. And he's going to walk me through whatever it is he's going to walk me through. And he's going to be with me in the middle of famine. He's going to be with me in the middle of my sin. He's going to be with me in the middle of conflict. He's going to develop me into the purpose and the promise that he has for me. And I'm here to encourage you that God is preparing you for your promise. God is preparing you to be the person that he's called you to be. I know that sometimes you and I get lost in the ways of this world and we can feel like it's all meaningless and it doesn't make sense. But Jesus is working it out for your good, and he's making you more like Jesus along the way. I want to be more like Jesus, even if it hurts me sometimes. God is shaping you and expanding you in a way that prepares you not just for the place he's taking you, but for the people you're going to be around. He's preparing you for the harvest, so that you might receive them in greater depths of his love. God will allow you to see your own sinfulness so that you might know how much grace you need so that you'll be gracious to people who are deep in sin. Do you recognize your need for grace? Or do you think you have it all together and you're just like Jesus already? Paul was like, I don't think I've attained this already, but I'm going to press forward towards my goal, grabbing a hold of Christ Jesus, who grabbed a hold of me first. I'm letting go of all the things behind me, and I'm going forward to being made more like Jesus, because there's a world out there that needs him, that needs him. I'll just be honest. My wife has been challenging me to be more compassionate. Because right now, I'm pretty good at truth. But I'm not always as good in compassion. And I don't like that she's challenged me in that. It hurts. But God is bringing me into a fullness of his mercy. To be made more into the image of Christ. So that when I meet people, I'm not just giving them the truth. I'm giving them truth and grace at the same time. How is God wanting to grow you? How is God wanting to develop you? Because God is getting ready to bring you guys, I believe God is getting ready to bring you into a new level, a new grace of his purpose. And God is going to bring you into an open space. Verse 26, chapter 26, verse 22, it says this, abandoning that one, talking about the place of conflict and hostility, Isaac moved on and dug another well there. This time, there was no dispute over it. Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space, for he said, at last, the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. When God grows you and develops you and gives you grace and allows you to walk through conflict that's going to make you more into the image of Christ, he's going to bring you into more of a promised place, a greater level of his spirit. And you're going to live in that blessing of what you've walked through. I promise you that. The blessing of being more like Jesus. He's going to give you an open space to prosper. And I'm wondering, I'm feeling in my heart maybe right now that in Journey Church that God wants to create a space where there's growth and there's depth, but he's going to take you through an excruciating season of grace, conflict, growing pains to prepare you for the harvest of Columbia Falls. Because Columbia Falls needs Jesus. Your family needs Jesus. And if God is expanding you, don't grow weary in doing good. Allow him to expand you so that there's room for people in your heart. You want to know what the temptation is? And this is my temptation as well. When I walk through things that are difficult, when I see my own sin, when I see my own conflict and struggles and opposition, my temptation is for my heart to close up, become hardened against God and against people. Because life didn't go the way I expected. I'm not as good as I thought I was, so my heart is tempted to close up. But God is trying to bring you into an open space of his blessing. Just allow him to work the deep things in your heart. Allow him to work it out. He wants to bring you into open space and blessing and promise. And I'm getting ready to close here, and I don't know if I could maybe have the worship team come up and we can get ready to sing one more thing. And here's my concluding point. And I'm kind of skipping all my notes here, so sorry. I preach better when I just go from my heart, I feel like. Whatever it is you're going through and facing that God is using to expand you, he's with you now. And I know you're going through maybe a time of like you're the waiting game of the fulfillment of God's promise. You're waiting to see it to come to pass. God is preparing you for the promise, and God is preparing you for the harvest. But I believe above all else, he's preparing you for heaven. He's preparing your heart for heaven. Because the promise that God gave Abraham was not just a land here in the earth. It was a land that would last forever. That's the promise of Jesus. The promise of the blessing to all the nations was Jesus. And Jesus gave us a promise as well. He says, I'm going to the Father to prepare a place for you. What I love is God is preparing the place for us, but he's also preparing us for the place. And one day, I know we don't talk like this very much anymore. One day you and I are going to stand before Jesus. In his fullness. I want to be prepared. I don't want to be like anybody else. When I'm standing face to face with God, I don't want to be like Andrew. I want to be like Jesus. You say, how do I do that? How do I get prepared? Allow him to do whatever it is he wants to do in your life. Whatever. That can mean a excuse my language, a lot of things. But you want to know what I believe is going to prepare you the most? Is to receive. Receive the work that God is doing in you. Don't fight it. Don't close your heart off to it. Don't shut your heart off to the world. Don't shut your heart off to people. Allow him to do what he wants to do. Jesus, if you need to give me grace in the middle of my sin, do it. I receive your grace. God, if you need to receive forgiveness to be prepared for heaven, because the only way you're going to stand before him and be justified is through his forgiveness and his blood shed for you. God is also developing you into being an overcomer. That when your faith is tested, you fought the good fight of faith. That God has given you his grace and his mercy to allow you to grow into the fullness and the likeness of Jesus Christ. To be somebody who reveals Christ to this world. I'm preparing for heaven, or should I say, he's preparing me for heaven. He's doing the work. And you want to know what our work is? Preparing the world for heaven as well. I want to prepare Columbia Falls to come face to face with Jesus. Whatever that looks like. If it means conflict, if it means tension, if it means hardship, if it means opposition, if it means you're facing the demonic powers of hell here in Columbia Falls, so be it, Lord. If it means I have to crucify my flesh, so be it, Lord. If it means I have to receive forgiveness and grace here today, if I have to receive your goodness here and today so that I'm more joyful, so be it, Lord. Let your will be done, not my will. Make me more like Jesus. And I promise you, if you allow yourself to go through that journey, you'll be ready on the day of judgment. You'll stand before him unafraid because you'll know he was with you and guiding you all along. Would you guys stand with me? Here's how I would like to close. And whatever it is that you need from him to prepare you for meeting him, now is the time to receive it. Receive it. If it's grace, boldness, receive it. If it's mercy, if it's justice, receive it. I need a lot of things from him. But I believe above all else today, I believe a lot of us are a lot like Isaac, where we've been stunted in our own sin and feeling shame, guilty, and remorseful for who we're not instead of walking in the promise of who he's called us to be. And God is saying, receive my forgiveness and mercy. Open up your heart to receive his grace, even though you blew it. It's the only way you're going to grow. So if you're in here, maybe for the first time, you've never received the forgiveness of God. That is a free gift. He gives it freely to you today through his son, Jesus Christ. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. He's given it freely to you. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. His forgiveness is as free now as it was back then. May you receive it more fully so you might grow more into the image of Christ by his grace, by his mercy. And if you're going through conflict, ask to receive the strength you need to love your enemies in the middle of it. It's making you more like Jesus. So as we close, we'll sing a song and we'll worship. But I want to pray for anyone who needs prayer. Maybe you just need to receive something from him I'll come alongside you and pray with you. I believe that God wants to give good things, his promise, because he's not just a promise maker, he's a promise keeper. And he will fulfill his promises to you, to be with you and to bless you, to multiply you and to grow you into the fullness and the likeness of Jesus Christ. So worship team, would you just lead us in a song?
Let all agree, there's no power like the power of Jesus.
thankful that Jesus is preparing us. I couldn't prepare myself. I would not be ready. He knows what we need before we even ask. He's making room for you. That's what he's doing right now. He says, if I go to a place to prepare it for you, will I not surely come back and get you? So endure what you need to endure now. Sin, conflict, fight the good fight of faith, receive his grace. Because all one day, your promise is, every tear will be wiped away. And he will work it all out for good. Your sin, your conflict, your pain, your struggles, your weaknesses, he will work it all together for good. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Before I hand this off to Pastor Dave, I have another 30 minutes. I'm just kidding. I only have a few books with me. I wrote a couple books. I didn't recognize this, but I think it's fitting that today I only brought my books called Promise Mercy. It's just a book about different seasons in my life. I just wrote down moments with God where I was feeling a whole lot of different things, and God just showed up and just helped me. He helped me walk through those things of not understanding, and he gave me mercy. Amen. So if you want to grab one of those, feel free to meet me back there, and we'll work that out. And I only have a few, but I can help you find a way to get it if you want one. So God bless you guys. Thank you so much for letting me come. I don't know if Pastor Dave is here. Oh, what's up, man? Again, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and privilege, and I just want to take the time to honor you as well as a pastor, and all the work that you put in. And I'm thankful that God is not just going to expand you, but he's going to expand your reach and expand your power and favor. I love the verse that says Jesus grew in stature and favor and wisdom, right? I believe that God is wanting to do that in you as well. And it's not just for you. It's going to be for the harvest around here. God is going to develop you into the man of God he's already said you are. So thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Yeah. Before we go, one thing that I want our church to do is to show generosity this morning. Andrew and Shannon have taken the step of faith to launch this ministry. Maybe at the initial moment, not knowing where God would take it, but they said, yes, we're going to step out. And it's been neat to see on Facebook the different places that is opening their doors to this ministry. And you know, when I was a kid, we had what I called, this is what I called them as a kid, poster evangelists. You'd see these posters all over town of a certain evangelist coming, and you knew who they were. Billy Graham, you know, Randy Ruiz for those AG people back in the day. But their posters, I'd be like, we know who these people are. And I'd like to announce that Andrew is not at poster stage yet. You're at the promise stage. We want to see this ministry grow. We want to pour seed into this ministry and watch it flourish as he goes into the public schools, taking that step of faith and seeing where God takes it. And this morning, I want Journey Church to partner with this ministry. And we're going to take an offering, and I'm going to ask that you would open up your wallets, step out in faith on your own, and would you give towards this ministry as it moves forward? We believe in this. That we're pushing back against the darkness in the schools of America. And would you partner with that this morning as we take an offering? Ushers, come on forward. And then, church, I want us to do this. Would you just reach your hands towards Andrew and Shannon this morning? We just want to pray a blessing over them. Father God, I just thank you for this couple that is honoring you and living their lives for you, saying yes to you. On this journey of faith that they've embarked on. And God, what I know is what you've called, you will bless. And even when we don't see the answer, we know that you've called us to a journey. And I pray your blessing over Andrew and Shannon. I pray a blessing over their house right now. I pray a blessing that you would cover their needs right now in Jesus' name. I pray for favor for them as they expand. God, I pray for more churches to open their doors to their ministry, more schools to open their doors to hear. And God, I pray that you would open doors that they would never think possible, because you're that kind of God. God, expand their reach. Give them favor. Pray a covering over their marriage, over their home. Thank you for this couple that said yes to you. And ask that you would bless them in Jesus' name. Ushers, come forward. You can be seated. You can stay standing. But let's sing that chorus one more time.
Oh, there's nothing that our God can do. There's not a prison wall he can't break through. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God. Sing it one more time. Oh, there's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. This morning. Amen.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great week. It's supposed to be sunny this week for those of you family campers. Have a great day in Jesus.